listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the latest Cleveland Browns draft coverage directly from the source right here. That's us in Berea. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones and tablets and iPads. And stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. 216-578-0850. Rick and Talmadge wants to join us now. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Rick?
I get a free agency. They got an A on this year. I'd like to know why nobody's talking about Terrell Pryor picking him up.
Well, I don't know. I think the question about him, in my mind, is what do you get as far as a good fit for your offense? And we know there's versatility to what this Brown scheme is about, but I'm not entirely sure that that's the road you go down with Pryor. I mean, I think when we've seen him have some success, you know, and it's come in some spurts, and there's still maybe some questions lingering as to whether there's more there than not. But in my mind, he would separate himself by now. I think the issue is, do you have someone that's really worth having beyond just maybe putting him on your depth chart? And I don't get any sense from anyone I've spoken with here that you feel your team gets better when you pick a guy like that to compete, because really what you have on the Browns roster is the need for someone you believe is going to push Brian Hoyer to the point of and maybe beat him out for the starting job. Is that Pryor? Is that almost anyone in the whatever you'd call the open market right now? And my answer is no. I mean, it's not just a Pryor thing. I don't really see it from almost anyone there. People want to connect the obvious dots to a Rex Grossman because of the connection that he has with Kyle Shanahan, and that makes sense. And maybe that's a late add to the quarterback spot. But the more we go along here, we sit here on April 15th, and I think this team is determined to add not one but two quarterbacks via the draft.
Which would be great, and I would be thrilled with that. Don't forget, Terrell Pryor is still a member of the Oakland Raiders. They have not cut him. If the Browns wanted to get Terrell Pryor, that would be a trade, and I think if they were looking at him, they would wait for him to be released. My biggest issue with Terrell Pryor is this. I know he can make plays with his legs. I've seen him do it against Pittsburgh last year. I think he had a 90-yard touchdown run on the first play of the game. But throwing the football and winning consistently from the pocket is far from his forte, and I believe you ultimately have to do that in the National Football League. You saw RG3 his first year. His legs were great, but in terms of his accuracy when he was healthy, one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL, that offense hummed. The second year, I think with all the time off due to injury, his mechanics were lacking, his accuracy was lacking, he couldn't win from the pocket, nor could he run as effectively as he once did, and all of a sudden that offense was very stagnant. I think he'll bounce back this year with a full work of offseason, but Terrell Pryor, to me, is not that guy that's going to ever consistently win from the pocket. And when you have a coaching staff in Oakland that would have rather played Matt McGloin than play Terrell Pryor, I think that tells you all you need to know about him, at least at this point in his career, about him as a quarterback.
Yeah, that made a loud, to me, makes too loud a statement that says, no, I don't. If they don't see the help that this guy can provide, I'm not sure why we as an organization, if you're the Browns or another team looking at him, would think so. And as you said, until he's available, you know, you're looking or available in the way that you'd acquire him off waivers or in some realm like that, I don't see him as a guy you're going to initiate any sort of trade for. So I think that's another reason why you don't hear his name mentioned too often. All right, Megan Rock is here, and Megan Rock has been monitoring the Twitter, the feed that we've gotten to @Browns_daily, and she has some tweetage for us now.
Some tweetage. Here we go. @Robinson0904 gives the Browns an A-. And they say, we have finally put those old mutts to sleep. Farmer bringing in pure breed dogs.
Nice.
I like that.
Okay, that works. What else we got?
It's an A minus. Good moves at wide receiver, running back, linebacker, and safety, but the Mac drama was a negative. If draft is good, it could be an A+, or if bad, a C.
So you didn't like the drama over the Mac thing, and I get that too. I didn't love it either, but as it rolled along, I became more and more confident that the ultimate result, which is that he was going to remain a Brown, was the case. And I don't think there's anything more to worry about beyond that. I really don't sense. I know this is taking a leap here to say that you know what's in one's heart or one's mind, but I'll go as far as to say that it's not going to be an issue at all. Any lingering issue?
No, there's no lingering issue from that at all. I agree with that.
All right, at BDog1785 says, brought in veteran leadership, Hawkins' contract to prevent the Bengals from matching Mac's offer, getting Tate an A+.
Yeah, I think an A+ is strong, but I think clearly it has been a winning offseason thus far for the Cleveland Browns, and we've seen people from ESPN to CBS to Pro Football Focus rank the Browns among free agency's winners thus far during the offseason, and I certainly concur. I'm going to share a couple real quick that I liked as well. One's from @ShapperDeCapper. He says, not a Browns fan or a hater, but I think they have had a great offseason, A-. And then this is one that sums up a lot of the thought process right now. From PatMoss7719, he says, B+. An A would have been adding another lockdown corner. And I think we'll see that in the draft. But right now, you know, that was kind of the take on free agency. Real quick, for the end of the hour, Eddie in Westlake, what's up? Welcome to CBD.
Well, never mind.
When we come back, we're going to go on the Blitz.
Can we hit Manimal real quick?
Yeah, go for the Manimal. I like the Manimal.
We always like Manimal. He says, I'll be honest, I love everything they have done so far this offseason, but the draft will be the key. And I think that's fair. But, I mean, our point here is to assess what they've done up to now. I think it's a given that everything that happens going forward, what kind of team we're going to see, is going to rely on the draft to provide, I don't know, as many as half of those 10 picks, and we'll see if they end up with more or less, depending on what kind of trading they do, in the starting lineup or certainly prominently contributing to what this team is about. I don't know that you need 5 starters, but you should have 5 players minimum, in my mind, if this is a successful draft, whose presence will be felt this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we said, it is the lifeblood of an organization to draft, develop, and then retain your key players. The Browns are going to have an opportunity in a talent-rich draft to add many guys who could fit that bill down the line. And that, to me, is one of the most exciting things about the draft that begins on May the 8th. We're going to go on the Blitz around the NFL. San Francisco, Buffalo hitting the top news stories from around the league when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.